Complete 64% of his passes as a rookie. A pro day is kind of fun, but remember, it rarely translates to NFL Sundays. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Let's talk about a little thing called NCAA March Madness. It's only the single best sporting event of the year. Talking upsets, drama, I'm talking about, well, I'm always talking. If I wasn't stuck in a studio, you know where I would catch all the action? Buffalo Wild Wings. They've got everything you need. Wall-to-wall TVs, great food, friendly service. And this year, offering regionally inspired items like the Bayou Po' Boy or Buffalo Mac and Cheese. And they do takeout as well. Buffalo Wild Wings, the official hangout for NCAA March Madness. Drink responsibly. Three things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. More than a million business owners have trusted LegalZoom for incorporation, LLCs, DBAs, and more. Two, legal advice. Since they're not a law firm, LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys available in most states to provide the legal help you need for your business. And number three, no surprises. Upfront pricing, customer reviews, and 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Make the smart choice for your business at LegalZoom.com today. Don't forget to enter Patrick at checkout to save even more. LegalZoom.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday as we get you ready for the NCAA Final Four. Adrian Branch, one of the Maryland greats, going to join us. Going to be speaking with Bucknell today, right?
Speaking with, I think it's on the 7th. I have to double check my date, but I believe it's the 7th.
Wonderful. Magic Johnson's here tonight. Matter of fact, at Penn State.
He was a decent basketball player, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he could play. Also, Stephen Gross, the beat writer for the Philadelphia Phillies with the Allentown Morning Call, is going to join us. This will not be an invigorating conversation.
Oh, there's a
shocker. This will not be one that where you feel like you're charging through the door to knock down the door to get more season tickets for the Phils. Can't be. Can't have that conversation yet.
I'm not surprised.
And also, coming up on Friday, by the way, and I will be there with you on Friday. I know I got a hold of a couple of people at the station, and they kept using the word dread that you kept using in the staff meetings. I didn't quite understand what that meant.
No. I have not used that word publicly.
Yes, but in the staff meetings, I was told that you were, well, I'm going to be there. And Matt LaPay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin, and Will Tiemann, the play-by-play voice of Michigan State, will join us from Indianapolis to talk about the Final Four. Here's an interesting stat for you. You know, when you sit down and you do your research for games, you try to look at trends. What are trends? You know, a guy may be a 39% three-point shooter, but he's only hit two of his last 15. A guy may be a 75% free throw shooter, but you know what? He's knocked down 16 in a row. So the trend becomes more important than the overall number for the year. Here are three things that Wisconsin does and does them extremely well. Let's take, for example, points per possession. They were number one in the nation in points per possession this year, making them the single most efficient offense in college basketball. Against Arizona in the second half, Wisconsin had 1.6 points per possession. That's astronomical. And in fact, there was one stage in the second half, it was actually up to 1.8 points per possession. You will not lose at 1.8 points per possession. You won't lose at 1.6 points per possession. In fact, you could play no defense for five possessions in a row and still win. So that's one thing that they'll have to do against Kentucky. Number two, what's another staple for Wisconsin? Well, another staple for Wisconsin is they don't turn the ball over. Seven turnovers per game. The key is make sure that almost all of them are dead ball turnovers. The one thing you don't want to do with Kentucky, a series of live ball turnovers that turn into slam dunks at the other end. You can't have that. You're almost better to take the ball and throw it out of bounds yourself, but the heck with it. Dead ball turnover. And now for the third part. What else is Wisconsin known for this year? They don't foul. Now let's go with the number inside the number. Starting with Penn State on December 31st in Madison until the and then the end of the Oregon game in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's a 23-game span. 18 Big Ten games, 3 in the Big Ten tournament, 2 in the NCAAs. Wisconsin averaged 11.04 turnovers per game, not per half, 11.04 personal fouls per game. They averaged 11.04 personal fouls per game. That doesn't even get you into the bonus. Now for the number within the number. The last two games, the ones in Los Angeles, Wisconsin committed 39 personal fouls. They can't do that against Kentucky. If I had to pick out a number that really would bother Bo Ryan, it's the 39 personal fouls in two games. Because if they go out and they commit 19 or 20 personal fouls against Kentucky, Kentucky will go to the free throw line and they will nickel and dime this team out of the tournament. All right, Kevin, go ahead. You wrote a note. Tell everybody your little thing here.
Announced today, the Pocono IndyCar race in August will be the ABC Supply 500. That's 10 good IndyCar seconds with a couple to spare.
We'll take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Try to regain the audience now after your big announcement.
Your April Fool's joke wasn't that nice today. Offered me an entire show for IndyCar racing and then saying April Fool's.
Sean Carey wagered me $20 that you would take the bait. And I'm buying on Friday night. All right. So. There you go. Yeah. Well, let's. We're talking about the Final Four. We'll have Adrian Branch on and talk about that and much more at 4:35. Stephen Gross, Allentown Morning Call at 3:35. More coming up tomorrow as well. And then Friday, Matt LePay, Wisconsin's play-by-play boys, and Will Tiemann, Michigan State's play-by-play boys, will be on the show with us from Indianapolis to talk about the NCAA tournament. Dave Paulson's coming on tomorrow, the new head basketball coach at George Mason.
And all the reports from the D.C. area from today's introduction have been very, very positive, as you would expect with a new coach coming in, but lots of nice things to say about the choice of Coach Paulson.
Well, they should have a lot of credit. Dave Paulson's a really good basketball coach.
Yes, he is.
He's really good. Okay? He's really good. He's a good man, a good person, a knowledgeable basketball coach who knows how to build a program. And I think he's an excellent in-game coach. I think he makes great adjustments. And more importantly, if Dave Paulson recruited my son, I would say, please take him. Not everybody I would say that about. Dave Paulson, Pat Chambers, they're two guys right off the bat, I can tell you right away, being around both in a heartbeat. Bucknell's very lucky to have him. And he did a great job for Bucknell, and I think he'll do a great job at George Mason.
By the way, earlier we were talking about April Fool's jokes, and there was one Tom Brady sent out. It was a picture of him in a full body cast. And of course, that comes back from his vacation plunge off of the side of a, I'll use the term loosely, cliff into a waterfall or into a pool of water below that had a lot of fans a little bit upset. You know what? I can really, as much as I'm all for having the freedom to do what you want to do, I understand where the fans are coming from for this. Being a Steeler fan whose quarterback decided to go for a ride on a motorcycle without a helmet, I understand where they're coming from. I mean, the team itself has a lot of money invested in him, and if, God forbid, something would have happened with an injury or something, and he's gone for the year, that's a big, big loss for the team.
A couple points. Number one, I am no believer at all in April Fool's. Zero. So I'm not going to do an April Fool's joke or anything like that. Just I won't do it. Kevin was kidding before about, hey, I told
I was,
him.
Yes.
We know. Okay, because I don't believe in that stuff. I never have. I know you're sitting there saying, of course. All right. You think I'm the no fun guy.
Sucking the fun out of the room.
I just don't believe in it because I don't find deception to be entertaining. How about that?
Okay. That's fine.
I don't think fooling the audience is a lot of fun either. So that's one. And I don't think you should. Anytime you get to a day like today, and anytime, what happens if something actually, that something serious were to happen today? What if something actually serious happened today? Well, initially, people would sit back and go, ah, it can't be real. I don't really know if I want that. I don't know what the origin of this is. And this has nothing to do with not being fun, being all right. We have a lot of fun on here all the time. A lot of fun on here all the time. Despite the fact that Kevin thinks I'm the fun sucker that just takes it out of the room. But I don't... I've never bought into it. So, pictures of guys in body casts and things like that.
Well, but see, I wonder if he would have done that.
I don't find that funny.
Well, I wonder if he would have done that if there wasn't the uproar from Patriots fans about him taking this vacation plunge off of a cliffside into a into a pool of water, what appeared to be next to a waterfall.
I don't know.
And I think that's what he was playing off of. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what he was playing off of. I go back to, why was he doing it in the first place? Not the April Fool's joke. Why was he jumping off the side of a cliff? Man, you are the premier quarterback in the AFC, if nothing else, right now. And your team relies on you. Your fan base relies on you. By the way, the one that is paying your salary, which is quite hefty, don't do anything that can endanger you on purpose.
Okay. A couple things. He's, what, 38 now?
Yeah, give or take.
No offense, but hasn't he already done what he needs to do in his career?
But he's still getting paid a lot of money to do it. If he wasn't a football player anymore, that's I mean, risk everything you want. Yeah, remember last year when Drew Brees did a commercial and said that he was stepping away from football so he could ride a motorcycle.
Right.
I mean, I don't blame these teams for putting in some of these clauses in the contract. And if you're getting paid that much money, sorry, I think there's a little bit of a responsibility.
Okay. Well, I think there's a responsibility to take care of yourself, too. Obviously, in what I do, I mean, I did 98 games in a span of 9 months. Do I feel an incredible obligation to, quote, take care of myself? Yes. In fact, he kids me all the time that, you know, he doesn't really know what I sound like sick.
I do, but it's not that different. And it doesn't happen often.
And there's a reason why it doesn't happen often. I do try very hard to take care of myself. Because this is what I do. I don't miss days of work, and I don't miss games. And conversely, for an athlete, same thing. I mean, it's a 24/7 thing to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So, yes, while it would be great to jump off a cliff, it would be great to skydive, it would be great to run with the Bulls at Pamplona, we may have to put that off until retirement.
It's called sense.
Seriously, because there's an obligation that you show up every single day. I mean, I don't show up every day. This becomes the Kevin Hurst show, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, you know.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
The great untapped potential we never realized suddenly blossoms. Roger and Drew just drove off the road.
What kind of that? Sarcasm when you hear it?
What's that note mean? What the heck? Wow. So, that is, yeah, you do have an obligation to take care of yourself. And even if it's an April Fool's joke, whatever, it wasn't a joke that he jumped off the cliff.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure the April Fool's picture had a lot to do with that, but the cliff came first. And if you are going to do that, why would you actually record it and have it public? That's the other thing I didn't understand. Hey, well, look at this dumb thing I did, risking my life. And, oh, yeah, by the way, fan base, thanks for paying my salary.
Well, TV pays a lot of his salary, too. If you really sit back and think about it, isn't it ironic that the TV payout per team in the NFL exactly matches the salary cap number?
I did find that interesting when you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago.
So when you're going buying your tickets, I mean, you're not really paying their salaries. You're just putting it in the owner's pockets. We're from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. A depressing conversation next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Dave Paulson coming up tomorrow. Next hour, Adrian Branch. Friday, Will Tiemann of Michigan State and Matt LePay of Wisconsin, the play-by-play voices that will call the Final Four. By the way, Gino Auriemma was on a conference call with national media before taking his team to Tampa, where they'll crush the opposition like grapes. And he called men's basketball a joke. Said the bottom line is nobody can score. College men's basketball is so far behind the times, it's unbelievable. He says, I don't coach it. I don't play it, so I don't understand the ins and outs of it. But as a spectator watching it, it's a joke. There's only like 10 teams out of 25 that can actually play the kind of basketball game that you'd like to watch. He said, I'm speaking as a fan. He said, I just don't like what I see. He said, the bottom line is nobody can score. He said, they'll tell you it's great defense, it's great scouting, a lot of teamwork. He said, that's nonsense. He says, college men's basketball is beyond the times. Some of it is scouting. Some of it is good defense. But he is right. Men's basketball is behind the times rules-wise. And right now, college basketball is getting really good ratings. They had record ratings the opening weekend. TBS set a ratings record. They'll set another one this week when they get to the... And the Final Four couldn't have worked out any better for college basketball. Brand names left and right. Kevin put everything on obviously, four underdogs to get there, which was adorable. Except nobody wants to watch that. That's called the CIT. And the so they've got everything they want in it. But the level of play is something that has to be looked into. And we've talked about flow. We've talked about better opportunity of spacing on the floor, less hand-checking, less physical play. Passing, shooting, making that a big part of what's going on in the game. FIFA with the idea of having, hey, I put up a shot, hits the rim, and the clock reset. And by the way, in international basketball, it's 24. So the clock reset would be at 14 because they give you 10 to bring the ball up the court. They said, look, you're already down there. What do you need the additional 10 for? Progressive ideas like that need to be explored a bit. Auriemma criticized poor quality of offensive play. And and that's something that needs to be looked into. And Auriemma says, look, this is entertainment we're talking about. He says, people have to decide, do I want to spend $25, $30 to go see a college scrum where everybody misses 6 out of 10 shots that they take, or do I want to go see a movie? He says, we're fighting for the entertainment dollar here. And I have to tell you, it's not entertainment from a fan standpoint. I think it's an interesting debate to bring up, and something I'll bring up with Adrian Branch in an hour. Before we get to that topic, though, I'd like all the Philly fans to strap themselves in. This may be a depressing ride. We bring in Stephen Gross, beat writer who covers the Phillies for the Allentown Morning Call. Stephen, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Actually, I think I lost him there. Hang on a minute.
Once again, if someone would just not concentrate so much on 10 good IndyCar seconds.
Hey, listen, I only have 10 seconds. I got to make them good. Because, that's the name.
Because I'll be frank with you, right? That may be 9 seconds too many.
Oh, that's unkind.
It's a fast sport. Okay, how about this one? Doom, doom, went by twice.
I thought that was a first and second place that went by there.
No, this is qualifying.
Hang on while I try and get him back here.
Yes,
discuss amongst yourselves.
So, That's what Gino Auriemma was talking about. He says every major sport in the world has taken steps to help people be better on the offensive side of the floor. And I think every sport does this. I've talked about this. Every sport looks at offense. They're trying to get you intrigued in offense. The NFL has increased its scoring. Look at the Super Bowl. The Super Bowls have been entertaining. People have scored. The Seahawks and the Patriots both scored. A couple years ago when the 49ers lost to the Ravens, that game had points in it. Went down to the final possession. And Crabtree couldn't reel it in on the fade. This time it was Butler with the interception at the goal line. You know, again, even in defeat, driving down to the end. We've talked about hockey, fast pace, taking out the two-line pass, how it's opened it up. And hockey's just 2 hours and 15 minutes of constant action. Now, what else needs to improve? We've talked baseball needs more offense in it. And so does college basketball. I believe we now have our guest.
Yes, we do.
Well done. Kevin's been able to find him thanks to the Google app. We bring in Stephen Gross, Phillies beat writer, Allentown Morning Call. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Okay, I thought I had him, but hang on.
Right.
Okay, he's there. Go ahead. Go ahead. He's there. Go ahead and ask him a question.
Okay, let's put this into terms, Kevin, that you can understand.
I'm having a bad day.
If this were a bobsled run, we would be upside down outside the track at the moment.
Yes, and I would not be the driver any longer. All right, go ahead and ask your question because I think I got it squared away this time.
All right, Stephen, let's try this again. There's a lot of predictions, especially by my co-host here, of doom and gloom. Are they justified?
After watching them the last few weeks down in Clearwater in spring training, I think it is. The biggest question, I think, for this team this year is, are they going to hit 100 losses or not?
What makes them a hard team to watch?
I think the offense is going to be the biggest thing, where they're going to get the runs from, because they they've admitted, Ruben Amaro said right from the get-go this offseason that they're not going to hit a lot of home runs, so they're going to have to create runs, and that's why they've kind of gone with this new offensive philosophy. They're referring to it as a new offensive philosophy where they're trying to create runs by cutting down on strikeouts, putting the ball in play, making contact, you know, stealing bases, hitting runs, things like that. And I mean that's great. You know, it's good to see them going back to that. But I don't think they have the talent on this roster that they're really going to be able to do it. And then when you look at pitching, especially now, I don't think that Cliff Lee is ever going to pitch again. Just looking at the rotation, what they have left, I don't think that they're even going to have the pitching. Maybe if you have Cole Hamels, for how long he's going to be around, you know, he'll give you a chance to win some games, but they're not going to have the pitching to really support an offense that may only score, you know, a few runs a game or get shut out.
In 2008, they won the World Series. 9, they lost the World Series. 10, they lost the League Championship Series. 11, they lost the Division Series. Is that graph telling us where the franchise was headed, or what has gone horribly wrong to get them to this spot since 11?
Yeah, I think that really is telling, because there was a point there in 2011 and or 2010 and 2011, I think, where you could kind of see the writing on the wall. Some of the core was aging. They weren't really doing anything to replace that. They had gutted, Ruben Amaro had gutted the franchise, the minor league system to just kind of risk it all to make that window successful as possible, that 5 years where they won the division. And they were only able to win one World Series. But because he kind of mortgaged the future, now we're in the future and there's nothing really coming up from the minor leagues. So, you know, they've gone back and trading Jimmy Rollins. They started to rebuild and things like that. And they've gotten some talent back. I think at Double A Reading, there's going to be quite a few pitchers, including their first round pick from last year, Aaron Nola. They're going to have some great pitching prospects there. And the most exciting thing about the Phillies, I think, this year is going to be to see how quickly maybe some of those pitchers come up through, and if they make it up by the end of the year and get some major league innings under their belt. But yeah, I really think it was just a combination of their core was getting older, their production was dropping, and the Phillies really didn't plan for that. They just kind of kept going double or nothing every year to try and get that one more ring.
I know when I've watched them, and I get to see their Williamsport franchise a dozen times a year, and there are very few guys that I've watched through 9 years there where I liked. Is that indicative of to me, of the depth in the organization? Because those are the guys over 9 years I've watched attempt to move up. How damaged is the minor league system for the Phillies, in your estimation, especially when you watch the minor league complex?
I think it's this year there's some promise. There's some guys, like I said, you know, with through trades in the draft now. Okay. I think this is the first year they've really concentrated on restocking. So I think it's starting to get better. But over the last couple of years, I think they've had one of the worst minor league systems in baseball. And if you look at the records of all the minor league teams, you know, whether you go through the Clearwater Threshers or Williamsport or even the Iron Pigs up at AAA, you can see that they weren't very good anywhere. You know, there's some guys like J.P. Crawford, who's about a year away, I would say, from the majors. He's going to be their shortstop, probably, of the future. You know, he was at Clearwater. There's some flashes here and there, but really, you know, they have been one of the worst minor league. They have one of the worst minor leagues the last few years. But yeah, there's not much. There hasn't been much talent. I think it's just restocking now, and you know, hopefully that's going to build them. So in a couple years, you'll start to see the major league team then improve.
When Ruben Amaro has made deals of shipping a veteran for prospects, that hasn't worked out well. Does that kill the level of confidence the Philly fans have when they look at a guy like Cole Hamels, who has actually pitched with 20-game winning stuff? Still winning 11, but he had 20-game winning stuff. He actually pitched really, really well. What kind of confidence should Philly fans have that if they deal Hamels, they're going to actually get something that helps the franchise?
It is tough. I mean, they probably don't have much confidence in Ruben Amaro, just seeing his track record. But then again, not to defend him, but it is tough. You never know. Even the surefire prospects sometimes don't pan out.
Sure.
So it is really hard when you're going after prospects. You just kind of have to, at the time, what information you have, you kind of have to try and, you know, get the best prospects that are out there and then hope they pan out. But it really is a crapshoot. So, I mean, as much as it's still better than the alternative, letting Cole Hamels, I think, pitch out what should be his best years in a Phillies uniform and then get nothing for it. So, you know, I think you still have to move him, and you just kind of have to hope for the best. But, yeah, there's not going to be much confidence there. And I think another reason, going back to the minor league system, why it has been so bad is their drafts and their scouting director, who they let go after the season last year, Marty Wolover. They had just failed there as well. So, I mean, there hasn't been confidence in a lot of those top-tier guys like Ruben Amaro or, like I mentioned, Marty Wolover.
Ryne Sandberg, you've now watched a year and a second spring training with him as a manager. Hands tied because of the talent, or are you seeing something that would shake confidence as to how he goes about handling a club?
There were some concerns last year that I saw where I wasn't sure if he handled things right, whether it was in the clubhouse or just in-game decisions, going with a certain reliever in a certain situation, that made me scratch my head. However, I think maybe some of that was just growing pains as his first full year as a major league manager. I think, you know, he's grown from that. I've seen him get better as he goes along. I do like so far what I've seen this spring. I liked what I saw last spring. You know, I think he's learning. I'd like to see what he could do with some talent on the roster. I know I saw him a lot when he was the manager with the AAA Iron Pigs, and he really didn't have a talented roster there, and the one year he took them to the International League finals. So I think with a younger team, with guys that he can mold a little bit more, he would be more successful, or even with a more talented team. But until you get maybe some of these last few veterans out of here, I think he still has his hands tied. So I don't think it's fair to completely evaluate him on what he's done so far, or even at the end of this season, depending how things pan out and how long maybe guys like Cole Hamels and Ryan Howard and Chase Utley are around, how fair it would be to judge Sandberg even on this season. But I'm afraid that he may not get a chance past the season, depending how things go.
And finally, is there a big concern around the team that it's not just 15, but also 16 that could fall into the same category?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, anytime you do a rebuild with a club, it's very rare that it's a one-year thing. You know, rebuilding takes time, and like some of the guys I mentioned earlier that are just now, you know, in double A or even back at single A Clearwater, it's going to take a few years for them to rise up. And then when they do get to the majors, you know, you figure you want to give them maybe a year or two, get some experience before they really start to produce at the major league level. So this is definitely something that is not going to turn around anytime in the very near future. They can kind of speed up the process a little bit with, you know, they picked up their starting center fielder this year is going to be Odubel Herrera, and they got him through the Rule 5 draft. You know, if they can do some more things like that where they can pick up, hit lightning in a bottle, get some guys in the Rule 5 draft, continue to draft well, get guys like Aaron Nola that are quick risers and make it into the majors in a year or two, you know, that could cut down on the time that they have to rebuild. But I still think even if they make all the right moves, you're not going to see this team compete until at least maybe 2017 or 18.
I have to ask you one more. It's about Ryan Howard. Where is he as a major league player right now?
I think he's going to be a little bit better than he was last year. But I still, he's a shadow of what he used to be. Everybody talked this spring about how much he slimmed down, and he really has. I saw that firsthand. But just at the plate, I think, you know, the bat speed I still don't think is there. He still does have the power. He should be a lot better when he does get on base, making it around the bases. I noticed he didn't have the limp that he's had the last few years. So, you know, I think he's healthy. He's slimmed down. Should be a little bit better than last year. But I still don't see a miraculous turnaround for him. I think he would probably be best suited as a DH in the American League somewhere, but not making anywhere near the contract that he has right now.
Steven, as always, a great pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Steven Gross, beat writer who covers the Phillies for the Allentown Morning Call. Kevin, enthused and energized about the Ryan Howard answer at the end. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Headed to the top of the hour. Next half hour, open line at 800-795-9565. Adrian Branch of ESPN, former Maryland great, is going to join us at 4:35. We're going to talk about some of the comments that Gino Auriemma made, and also about his appearance, which will be next Wednesday, or check it, next Tuesday night at Bucknell.
Yeah, he'll be April 7th at Trout Auditorium at 7 o'clock.
So he'll be there for that. Ironically, you know who's here tonight at Penn State?
Well, you'd mentioned Magic, yeah.
Yeah, Magic Johnson is here tonight at 7 o'clock. And he has 2 years of eligibility remaining. All right, and after that he's going to Indianapolis. But we'll talk to Adrian Branch about the Final Four, but also some issues with the game and about offense struggling at times. You would never know it by the four games that were played last weekend. I thought the offense in the Kentucky-Notre Dame game was very good. The Arizona-Wisconsin offensive game, both teams off the charts. Now, Duke and Gonzaga were plagued by playing in Houston.
Every game played at Reliance Stadium has been poorly shot. Every game. And the Final Four is there next year. That's not going to help the game. So we'll get to that with him in the final half hour of the show. But open lines coming up. We were able to take the bobsled, flip it back over, and then put it back on the track.
Hey, people applauded in the movie when the Jamaican bobsled team walked the bobsled across the finish line. Remember that. Disney made a lot of money on that movie, even though it wasn't historically accurate.
What movie is historically accurate?
Well, Titanic, because the boat did sink.
So you're saying Kate Winslet survived?